Today to this wonderful account in the life of the Lord Jesus, where we have this woman brought to him in her shame, in her guilt, after the committing adultery, caught in the very act, we are told. And there was no hiding the fact that this woman was guilty of terrible sin. Now the Pharisees, they wanted to use this for a catch-22 situation, where they could accuse the Lord Jesus of not keeping the law or either being harsh just as the law, that he would be no different from Moses. So whether he allowed the law to take its course and the woman be stoned, then what's the difference? Or if he lets the woman go free, then he is not keeping the law. And this is always the conundrum. This is the question of Job. How shall a sinful man be made just with God? And also the question, how shall a holy God set sinful people free from their guilt and yet remain God holy and righteous? Now, this account marvelously extols the Savior. And his method of dealing with this is very different from what those Pharisees expected. In fact, they were the ones that were walking away in terrible shame. And we want to look today at just how the Lord did this. And there are three things I want to put before you. First of all, the Lord Jesus demonstrated great grace by upholding the law, then by silencing his accusers, the woman's accusers, and by commanding the woman to go and sin no more. And praise God, the Lord Jesus can do all of this in your life too. And if perchance you are burdened with great guilt, and who in this world is not? Who has not broken the Ten Commandments? Who is not guilty of immorality? Who is not guilty of fornication, adultery, or some vice or perversion, even within their thought life or within their hearts? And of this, there should be great shame, and there should be an understanding of the guilt that that brings. But the Lord Jesus came into the world not to condemn sinners, but to seek and to save. He is the Savior. He is the head of the covenant of grace. He's the mediator between a holy God, guilty sinners, to bring them to be at one by reconciling them on the terms of the gospel. And the Lord showed his grace here by upholding the law. Now, the law of Moses did teach that if anyone was taken in the very act of adultery with sufficient witnesses, then they should be stoned to death. And there is something very significant about the actions of the Lord Jesus when he was pressed with this question. And this account tells us that he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Now, we're not told in this passage what he wrote. And there are many, many suggestions of what he wrote. And I'm not sure. I think it comes down to speculation. Some people say he wrote the commandments. Some people think that he wrote a gospel text. Some people even think that he wrote the names of the Pharisees that were accusing this woman. But we're not told in this passage or in any other gospel exactly what the Lord Jesus wrote. But I assure you that without saying a word, the words that he wrote on the dust of the ground were very, very effective. And this is the only time, by the way, that we read of the Lord Jesus writing something. There are no handwritten notes of the Lord Jesus. We do not have a book by the Lord Jesus. There are no articles in the Bible by the Lord Jesus. Now, there are accounts of his words and the things that he taught and he said, and they are written by others, but nothing that comes directly from the hand of the Lord except this account right here. Now, notice too that the Lord repeated the action in verse 8. And it might suggest that just as Moses was given the tables of stone, God wrote with his finger upon those tables of the law on those two tables of stone. But remember how they became broken. Moses broke them. And then God had to rewrite them. And here is the Lord Jesus. Two times he is writing on the ground. Now, it's very significant to note that after the second writing, that the Pharisees came under conviction themselves. It says in verse 9, they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience. Sin disturbs the conscience when it is awakened by the law. And such is the power of the law that it convicts of sin. Now, the law can only convict. It cannot pardon. The law can only measure out justice. It cannot measure out mercy. And of course, that's the difference between the law alone and the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this woman taken in adultery, if the law was speaking, she was hopeless. She was condemned. She was discovered in the very act of adultery. There was no escaping. But yet, when she was dealt with by the Lord Jesus, we know, of course, that she was set free. Not only set free from her past guilt, but set free to go and live as she should live, a Christian life. Now, the law can only convict, it cannot save. But the entrance of the gospel, this is the good news, this is the wonderful news, that the Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and save that which was lost and to save sinners. Now, this is the whole plan of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And of course, it was for this that our Lord Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, that he offered up his own life and body a sacrifice for sin, and for this he made atonement, that sinners who are guilty would be reconciled, made to be at one with God. And that atonement takes place by the blood of Jesus, covering over the sin, so that when God, who is angry at sin, when he looks upon the sinner, he sees the blood of his own son, and therefore his wrath is turned away. This is a wonderful gospel doctrine, and we see it worked out in the life of this woman. But I want you to read the theology of it in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and the verse 23. I hope you'll turn it up. These are key verses. Every Christian should know them well. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us, you and me included. We are condemned by the law, by our own sin. The law condemns us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace, there's grace now, and it's the Lord Jesus who, by grace, justifies men from their sins, by grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, that brings us to the cross. That brings us to Calvary, to the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made upon that tree. Verse 25, Romans 3, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now, that simply means a sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God, to end, to bring an end to God's wrath upon a guilty soul. And the Lord Jesus set forth, God set forth his Son to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And so it is the blood of that sacrifice. The sacrifice must die, its blood must be shed, and it is that blood that makes atonement and that brings about pardon. And so it's through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, God remains righteous. The Lord Jesus remains righteous. The sinner is made righteous. And it all works together in the good news that guilt can be washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So what the Pharisees thought was a conundrum, a catch-22, became a glorious opportunity for the Lord Jesus to have mercy on this poor woman and to set her free from her sin. And this is the function of the gospel. This is the power of the gospel unto God's righteousness, that we are made at peace with God. And you need a gospel that upholds the law. The law is not done away with. The law is not abolished. The law is not sidestepped. Sins are not swept under the carpet. They are paid for. And the law is satisfied to the full. Justice is done. And now for the saved sinner, the blood-washed sinner, justice becomes our friend. And we can plead justice because payment twice, God cannot twice demand. God cannot judge his son and then judge you and me if we are under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so the law now becomes our protection, and the law is our friend, and we are reconciled to God, reconciled to God's justice, God's holy standards, and we rejoice in them because we have been pardoned. And just like this woman, the Lord can say to us, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, let those words sink into your heart today, my dear brother and sister, because the devil would suggest other things. The devil would suggest that you're wretched, and your own flesh would tell you that you're unworthy. And in your own quiet thoughts at times, you might even come to the conclusion that there's no way that you're fit for heaven. And without a Savior, that would be true. But if you are under the blood, if you are justified, if you have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, if he has pronounced you pardoned, then it's not true. You are right to rejoice in the freedom to go and sin no more. Now, the Lord also showed his grace by silencing all his accusers. Now, through one statement, the Lord delivered this woman from every accuser. Look at verse 7. So when they continued asking him, and you can see how they pressed the issue. You can see how these gnarly, carnaptious, these perverted men who thought their trap was sure, they pushed the issue. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And then he stooped the second time, and he wrote something again. We don't know what it was. He wrote something. And then verse 9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, from the oldest to the lesser. The very chiefest of these Pharisees, they got the message. They were condemned. There was none that was without sin. And they had no answer for sin. They had no gospel. They really had no Savior. And Jesus got to their hearts to point out their very last condition. Can you see here the power of conscience? Can you see that there is a little preacher inside every breast that points and cries out, guilty, guilty, guilty? And when the gospel is preached, when the word of God is proclaimed, that guilt comes, and many, many live under the burden of that guilt, and they just have to walk away. Well, I'm asking you today not to walk away, but to come and repent. Fall at the feet of the Savior. Trust in Him. Don't walk away with your guilt and your shame. Don't walk away with your load of sin, but rather come and, like this woman, have your sins forgiven and be given a full pardon by the power of the Lord Jesus. Now, we could preach many, many things today from this passage about the gospel, but the thrust of it is that the Lord does not condemn. He seeks, He saves, and He sets sinners free. Now, I'm thinking of you right now. I've got certain faces and people in mind, and people that I'm praying for every week. You need to be saved. You need to answer up. And yes, recognize that you're guilty, that you have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you need the Savior to turn away every accuser. And the Lord Jesus can silence the devil. He can silence the law. He can silence every accusation that is against you, and He can set you marvelously free. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him might be saved. That's John 3:17, by the way, just after the verse that we know so well. God sent not His Son to condemn the world. And so we're not sent to preach bad news to guilty sinners. We do announce the fact that you are a guilty sinner, but the good news is that Jesus is come to save you. Now, the third thing, the Lord showed His grace by commanding the woman to go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Now, this was a necessary command. It was necessary. We must seek His work, not to condone her evil deeds. And the Lord did not excuse her evil doing, not set her free just to continue in it and go and live the old life as an adulterer. But the Lord gave her a wonderful pardon. And the Lord demonstrated His hatred against her sin by commanding her to go and sin no more. And that's the gospel. That's the command that we must preach to all men everywhere. Go and sin no more. Get out of your sin and live a new life and sin no more. And praise God, if we have pardon, then we're also given wonderful power. So it was a necessary command. It was also a general command. The Lord Jesus said that to this woman, but He can say it to everybody. And indeed, we don't need special permission to go and preach this to someone. We can preach this in the home. We can preach this in the church. We can preach this in the nation. I could stand before our prime minister or the highest officers of our government and say to them, Jesus says to you, go and sin no more. It's a general command, and it's for all ages. The same really is the message of repentance, which Jesus preached, John the Baptist preached, Peter preached, and the apostles of the New Testament, Paul the apostle, they preached repentance. Repent, turn, turn or burn. That's the message. But when you flee to the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Now, it's also, as we see here, a very powerful command when the Lord said, go and sin no more. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. And the Lord Jesus gives the victory to everyone that is under the dominion of sin. How does He do that? He translates us from the kingdom of darkness, where we are held by the devil, and he puts us into the kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus. We get a new master. We are set free from the power and the dominion of sin so that we live a new life. Now, this woman was not just motivated by guilt to stop sinning. Guilt doesn't motivate anybody. It's grace that motivates. It's mercy that motivates. And when she was dealt with so kindly by the Lord, she thought she was dead. She thought it was over, that there was no way out. But when those Pharisees walked away and she stood alone with Jesus, the Son of God, she was given now not only pardon, but power to live a new life. And I assure you, that's what Jesus can do for you, because that's what the Lord always does when he converts a sinner. And that I remember being 18 years old, hearing the gospel for the first time, and that was my question. There's no way I could live as a Christian. There's no way I could change my life as I need to. But I was wrong. And the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, or I might say the day after the Sunday evening I gave my heart to the Lord, I knew I had a new power. I had a new life. It was grace in my soul. And I want to tell you, this is the Jesus that I preach today, so many years later, the Jesus that never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the Lord saves his people, he does so one by one, one by one. He gave this single individual woman the command, go and sin no more. I don't want you to think that the Lord always works by group therapy or just in a large congregation. No, the Lord deals with the single individual. And there might be a whole congregation that are singing, and there could be one person, and the Spirit of God is striving. The Spirit of God is convicting and convincing of sin. And I pray today that as you listen in, that you will be convinced of your sin and that Jesus will have mercy. The law condemns you. The Ten Commandments cry guilty. The Pharisees' spirit, the legalism would damn you. But the Lord Jesus will save you. And he will give you the power to live a new life, you individually. And even those around you might be ungodly or careless, but you will be given individual, special grace, power, and victory to live the Christian life in your own way. And so we see here what power and grace is in the Son of God. All the glory goes to the Lord Jesus. You see, our problem is we don't grasp, we don't acknowledge or take it in the power that is in the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He's the God-man. He has all power. And he has all power in heaven and in earth. And he commands us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he has given me this commission to preach today this good news that Jesus will take away the guilt, but he will also give the victory to go and sin no more. But I also notice there's a warning here. Don't think that you can be saved to continue on in a sinful life. That's not the gospel. That's not good news. That's not even salvation. But Jesus commands, go, sin no more. And whether it is a life of sin, stop, repent, start in the power of the Lord. Or maybe it's someone that is dealing with a particular sin, and you have fallen into sin, and you have allowed sin to conquer you, and that particular sin, the memory of it plagues you. The consequences of it are living on, and they are torturing you. Well, today I bid you confess, repent, and take the power that Jesus gives to go and sin no more. Put that sin behind you, that it's no longer between you and the Lord, and you're no longer caught up in it, but you are totally set free. Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to give that victory to every one of His people and even to lost sinners today. Father in heaven, we come to Thee today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I want to thank Thee for the privilege of preaching such a gospel as this. I want to thank Thee for the privilege of standing in this pulpit and to declare to sinners that Jesus says, go and sin no more. Oh, Father, I pray that You will take Your word, make it effectual, make it to be a drawing, saving word in the hearts of everyone. Remember the lost today. Think of them under the misery and the guilt of their sin. The law cries out, guilty, guilty, guilty. But I thank Thee that the blood of Jesus cries out, pardon. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Oh, Lord, I pray that we might be able to exalt and delight in the pardoning, saving power of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. We ask this earnestly. We pray this with all our hearts. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore. Amen.